You are listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. You just heard Democracy Now! And now it is time for Press Start, your weekly look at games and the video game industry, broadcasting live from the studios at KCPR on the Cal Poly campus in San Luis Obispo, California. Hope everyone's having a good morning. And if you're listening via download after the show, which you can do by visiting the website pressstart.thefighting.org, hope you're having a good part of the day that you're having when you're listening to this. No Dave Hampton this week. Obviously, last week was just kind of a fluky surprise where he just happened to show up while we were doing the show, which was nice. It was fun to talk to him and catch up. We also had Hunter Goff on the show. If you missed that one, once again, you can download it, last week's episode. It was a good show, pretty fun, like talking to Hunter, had an interesting discussion with him, and Dave as well. Just me this week, my name is Justin, and we'll be walking through the week's news, along with a whole lot more. We've got music, and we've got some of my personal takes on things that are happening right now around the industry, because I love to look at these, you know, trends and come up with evaluations of where things will be in the future, what systems will do well, what games will sell well, which ones won't. But I think a big part of this week, at least tomorrow, is the NPD numbers, which is the group that tracks video game hardware and software sales. And of course, if you follow the sales charts, it's a big day because it's when we get it's, it was actually a 5-week period that they're tracking in March. I think it's from, yeah, it's for the March NPD numbers. And essentially, it's an extra week tagged on to what's usually a month-long sales tracking. And they're, you know, expect the Wii machine to continue to roll on with its crazy sales. Expect the Xbox 360 to still sell pretty well. Who knows what the PS3 numbers will look like, of course. If you're a PS3 owner, well, if you're a PS3 owner, first of all, you're probably the only person in San Luis Obispo to own a PS3. Because I haven't met any of them yet. And, but, you know, it's been tough. The system's not doing too well. Hopefully, it'll get a kick in the pants once some of its major third-party titles come at the end of the year. But until then, it's sort of, if you pay attention to the sales charts, and a lot of people pay attention to the sales charts, and it's something I always found interesting, you sort of have this fanatical following, this fanatical crowd of people who love games, and who take the sales charts to be the end-all, be-all of, not their enjoyment, but of, they get enjoyment out of the sales charts more so, I think, than the games. And it's quite interesting. You get people who will, you know, own a system that's selling well, or they'll consistently trash talk a system that's not selling well. And they live for that kind of thing. And, you know, my personal philosophy is always, look, if you're going to, you know, if you're passionate about, you know, video games and playing games, which I am, I love it. It's so much fun. Shouldn't you be passionate about the games themselves? Shouldn't you make that the sort of defining factor? But there are people who make the defining factor of the enjoyment they find, the number of sales at a particular system they've allied themselves with. It's almost like a sports team, I would say, where you have just diehard, you know, 49ers fans. I'm sorry, by the way, for all you 49ers fans. You have diehard, any team, you pick it, and you get into sort of a rivalry, maybe, or, you know, you get into discussions with other fans of other teams, and it sort of reminds me of the same kind of thing, but people are just hardcore about it. They're just, you know, those sales numbers when they come in, especially tomorrow, it really matters. And it's almost like they can't go home and have fun with their machines if it doesn't, you know, if it's not at the top, which is just always struck me as very odd. It's, you know, it's all about the software to me. I don't think it's being beholden to sales numbers, to a particular brand name. That's sort of this new trend I see coming out, and I wish Dave were here because I'd like to talk to him about this. But it's sort of this new trend I find in like highly fanatical people who like playing games, who are involved in gaming circles and community, and It's just weird. I you know, it's all about the software to me. You gotta. I've never been beholden to a particular company. I think my first system ever was a Sega Game Gear, which, you know, I've moved from that. I've been through every color of the spectrum, and I sit now with my Xbox 360. Of course, if you listen to the show a lot, you should know that. So I just, you know, it's quite interesting. If you want to talk about that today, I just thought I'd throw that out there at the top of the show this morning. I'll be here till 11, by the way, for the next hour. So hopefully you'll stick around. But if you, you know, have strong feelings about that or what have you, go ahead and send us an email. The email address for the show, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. Pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear what you have to say, because the sales numbers that time of the month is always huge, always crazy, people going nuts. And if you have any particular opinion about that, then please email. Like to hear what you have to say. In any case, we will go to, we'll take a break real quick, and when we come back, we'll recap sort of the news. There was a big, last Friday, by the way, last Friday was one of the craziest days I've ever had, but last Friday was Capcom's Gamers Day event, which is sort of their media event for the year, announcing what they're going to be releasing for the rest of 2007, and it was quite interesting what's coming out. If you're a Street Fighter fan, you should be pleasantly surprised if you haven't heard the news already. If you're a obscure board game fan, you'll also be pretty happy with some of the announcements. And also, if you're a fan of lawyer video games, which I know there are only two, I think, which are both Phoenix Wrights, you'll also be pretty happy. So there's a lot to talk about in that regard. Also, last week we talked about how Microsoft floated a boat down the middle of the river by the in Paris, France, during the PS3 launch. Well, I found some photos online of sort of a retaliatory prank that Sony played on Microsoft over in Europe. So we'll talk about that as well. It was, you know, not as funny or original as, say, the X boat, you know, just cutting right down the middle of the PS3 launch party in Paris. It was, you know, still pretty good. It would take some serious manpower to pull off this one, and they did. So we'll talk about that. It was in Holland, the Netherlands, if you will. So we'll talk about all that. And of course, we got so much more news and more music, so stick around. And once again, if you have something that you want to say, if you want to jump in on the show, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. In the meantime, here's a Maze Dude remix for you, since everyone loves Maze Dude. That was Maze Dude. Little industrial, little experimental, but of course Maze Dude, if you know anything about his work, that was from Zombies Ate My Neighbors, it was called Heartbeats. But if you know anything about his work, he loves to record samples and sort of do things in a different way than most electronic musicians. And so a lot of his stuff has a very unique sound to it, sort of a... industrial, I guess, is one way to put it. A sort of the sounds, the stuff he picks up, the stuff he, you know, captures is all very interesting, and he puts it together very nicely. Some songs, you know, personally, I'm a big, it's hit or miss with me a lot of the time with some of his stuff, but he had a Ninja Turtles remix on his site. I played it maybe a month or two ago. It was pretty good. So, MazeDude.com, by the way, if you want to go check out some more of his stuff. In any case, we are back, and I did want to add one thing to that little, it wasn't a rant, but that mini sort of discussion I had with myself at the top with the sales numbers, and that, you know, I mentioned that I wasn't sort of beholden to one brand, and I was thinking about it, and I don't think I've ever owned, in subsequent console generations, one of the same company's system. I think the only time that happened was I owned a Super NES when I was a kid, and I went from a Super NES to a Nintendo 64, and that was, you know, I was with Nintendo for two generations there, but after that, I my sort of tastes have varied wildly. From the N64, I went to the Dreamcast, then to the PS2, and now, as I mentioned, I'm sitting, I'm here, not here, but I'm sitting around at home with an Xbox 360, so it's really, it's interesting, and I wonder what marketing people from those from you know Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo would say or would think about people who move from one product to another company's product whenever they launch. It's something that's really interesting, and I wonder how much of the market those people make up, people who switch, and the factors for their switching. For me, it was all about the games, of course, like I said, but maybe there are other factors for that too. I know people sort of. People sort of talk about how people who are Nintendo fans back in the N64 days got so fed up with the lack of third-party support and the way that the company treated them that they, like, swore off Nintendo products for the rest of their lives and they, like, bought an Xbox because just to spite Nintendo or whatever. And I, you know, if that's true, that, I guess, could be one factor, but there's... probably many, and of course, I invite your thoughts on that as well. PressStartKCPR@gmail.com. Maybe we can explore this one a little bit. Although, in this, I will say, in this sort of life cycle that we're in, I think maybe the cost is also a big factor, too, in getting people to switch. You got people who maybe owned, a PS2 or an Xbox last generation, and now the Wii is so much cheaper. Maybe that's sort of an influencing factor in getting them to change their habits a little bit. So, all in all, very interesting stuff. Anyways, let's talk about the news. Like I said, last Friday was Capcom Gamers Day, and that was where Capcom announced pretty much everything coming in the next year from them. Excluding stuff people really wanted to see, like Devil May Cry 4, which is coming to the 360 and PS3, but nothing on that game there. And there was also nothing on Resident Evil 5, which people have been just shouting for, and Capcom still quiet on that. But there were a couple new Resident Evil games coming to the Wii that Capcom revealed, Umbrella Chronicles and Resident Evil 4, and we talked about that last week. In addition to that, Lost Planet, which was an Xbox 360 release earlier this year, very early, January, that's coming to the PC this summer, so PC fans, something you can look forward to. Phoenix Wright, the third one, it's called Trials and Tribulations for the DS, that one coming to America this fall, which is nice. A lot of people thought maybe Capcom was already working on that back when the second one came out, and it looks like they were. So, lawyer games, that's the new popular thing going on right now, I guess. And Capcom has a monopoly on the lawyer game because they also announced what many people thought was a no-brainer, what many people sort of joked, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if they made a game about this? Well, Capcom announced that last Friday at Gamers Day that the PS2 and PlayStation Portable are going to be receiving a new lawyer game called Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. And you may know Harvey Birdman as the Cartoon Network show, Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law. It's actually a game being developed by High Voltage, I believe, and they are in. That's actually a Western developer. They've worked on other games like Call of Duty 2, Big Red 1, which was the PS2 Xbox effort for Call of Duty 2. And I mean, there wasn't too much information given about it, but it's pretty interesting. And you know, many people are expecting it to sort of be an adventure game like Phoenix Wright. So that's coming for the PS2 and PSP, like I said. Some bigger announcements, perhaps. Monster Hunter Freedom 2, which was is the sequel to Monster Hunter Freedom, obviously, for the PSP. That's coming to North America. And a couple of Mega Man games for the DS. Mega Man Star Force, which continues the Battle Network series of games. And Mega Man, what's the other one called? Mega Man ZX Advent, which is a sequel to last year's Mega Man ZX. That's coming to the DS. And looks pretty similar if you enjoyed the first ZX. They're making a couple of tweaks here and there. So that's good for Mega Man fans, I suppose. Although, you know, I've never seen a company mascot get so much use, we'll say. I want to use the W word here, but it's so much use. Then, I mean, Mega Man is in everything. There's no, I don't think that he could appear. It's only a matter of time before we start seeing, you know, Mega Man lawyer games or Mega Man football games. You know, that reminds me, one of the best Mega Man games that ever came out was back on the Super Nintendo, and it was called Mega Man Soccer. And I love that game to death. I don't know about anyone else, but that was awesome. And you think, oh, hey, Mega Man sports games. I think that was really the beginning of Mega Man's rise to being in every type of game conceivable. I mean, he's in a turn-based sort of, or not turn-based. Well, yeah, he has been in a turn-based RPG with Command Mission. He's in a action RPG kind of deal with the Mega Man Legend series. He's got so many things to his name. And of course, two more DS games. I don't know if the world is done with the first 20,000 Mega Man games. So I don't know if Capcom's listening. Hopefully they are. But if they're not, that's all right, too. Just can we ease up on the Mega Man? Give the man a rest, please. I know he's a robot, but at some point, mechanical failures do occur. Can we just let Mega Man just kind of take a vacation for a couple of years? We don't need any more Mega Man games so close together. I'm sure people would like to see them, or at least make them interesting. If you're going to make a new Mega Man game, put them in like one of the most absurd situations possible. Maybe we could have like a Super Monkey Ball game, but we'll call it Super Mega Man, and we'll stick them in like a plastic hamster ball and have them like compete in mini games or whatever. I don't know. I just, you know, we need to get creative. The 2D, we've got the 2D side scroller, and that's pretty much all he's done. He needs to broaden his resume a little bit. But in any case, Star Force ZX Advent, those are heading to the DS later this year. Even bigger than that, new Street Fighter 2 game. Well, it's not, I shouldn't say a new Street Fighter 2 game because it's still Street Fighter 2. But Street Fighter 2 Remix. And yes, you are hearing this right. You're getting another rehash of Street Fighter 2. For some people, that's not a bad thing. Street Fighter 2 is sort of the be-all, end-all fighting games. Excuse me. But I don't know how many times people can play this game. I mean, if you already own a copy, you own the game. There's not too many substantial differences between, let's say, the last incarnation of Street Fighter 2 and the remakes, really. So, but anyways, this one it's going to be downloadable in nature. It's going to be available on the PlayStation 3's PlayStation Network store and the Xbox 360 Xbox Live Arcade. It's an all-new version of Street Fighter 2. It's called, the official name is called Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo HD. It's going to have HD graphics, of course, but the sprites of all the characters, of all the backgrounds, of all the ending sequences are going to be completely redrawn, and that's pretty big. They're being redrawn by Udon, which is the company that draws the comics, the Street Fighter II comics. So that's pretty big, and that's going to be coming later this fall, downloadable. It's going to have online play, and, of course, the redrawn sprites, which is, it'll be really interesting to see if these new sprites are in any way make the game visually better, because if they don't add more animations, it might look kind of strange, but if they're redrawing the sprites and sort of smoothing out the animation, adding more frames or something of that nature, then it might look pretty good. It might be a completely new experience. So check that out later this year. And in addition to that, one last little thing here. In addition to the Street Fighter II remix, they're also Capcom, which is the best news for me. They're remixing Puzzle Fighter, which to me is the greatest game in the history of puzzle games. Better than Lumines, even though a couple weeks ago I was just obsessed with Lumines. Puzzle Fighter, it's called Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo HD Remix. I don't know if you can say all that in one breath, but good luck, because it's coming to the Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network store. Of course, it's going to be able to output in 1080p. It's going to get a visual makeover, so it's going to look a little bit better. The gem effects and the gem graphics are much different than you may remember. It's also adding a couple of gameplay modes, including X mode, which sort of turns it into a Puyo Pop Fever style, where you don't need the crash gems to break all the normal gems anymore. They disappear when you connect three or more together. They're adding a Z mode, which is sort of like a Tetris Attack clone, where you have a little 2x1 panel that you move around the block where the bin where the gems fall, and you can switch them, switch positions with one another. So, which is a drastic departure from the Super Puzzle Fighter 2 formula. So, you know, big news, I love Puzzle Fighter. The last one I owned was on the Game Boy Advance when it came out in 2002, and I played that game just an unbelievable amount, and I think it helped, too, that the cartridge I owned was kind of broken, because it would never save my data. It would always, like, reinitialize the cartridge every time I turned it on. Which is kind of sad, but every time I turned it on, I had to, like, you know, unlock everything again. So I got really proficient at it. And I would be more than happy to challenge any one of you listening out there to a game of Puzzle Fighter 2, the HD remix version, when it comes out later this summer. And that's an instant buy for me for the Xbox Live Arcade. I'll challenge any one of you out there. I'm sure there are some pretty good Puzzle Fighter players at Cal Poly and also who listen to this show. So the challenge is open. My gamer tag, you can check on the website. It's right there. It's pressstart.thefighting.org. Same place you download the show. And also you can be creepy and like stalk me by seeing what games I've been playing recently. If that's your thing, I don't even know. All right, we'll take another break right now. And I got to catch my breath after all that Capcom news. It's utterly ridiculous. When we come back, we will catch up on some other things. We'll have more music later on in the hour. And, of course, if you want to drop your thoughts on anything we've talked about so far or anything we haven't talked about so far, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. It's the bottom of the hour. Stick around. Press Start on KCPR every Wednesday in the morning, broadcasting to the San Luis Obispo community online at kcpr.org and also in downloadable format in the future, which means right after the show is finished airing, it goes right up to the web space pressstart.thefighting.org where you can download it for your listening pleasure. You heard there that was Ocean Fire, that first song by Zeno, or no, it was by Ocean Fire, excuse me. There's a lot of X's and O's in this sort of thing. It was from Xenogears called Xenosphere by Ocean Fire. Say that five times fast. And the song before that was from the Killer 7 soundtrack called Dissociative Identity. Which is kind of a, I don't want to, you know, point this out too much for those of you who haven't played Killer 7. It's kind of a spoiler. And I'll let you mull on that. I don't want to say too much. But if you get a chance to play Killer 7, highly recommend it. It's an amazing game. Very artistic. And artistic in a very interesting way. It's sort of like Quentin Tarantino meets 300, I guess. I mean, that's the it's not really about, you know, Hellenic Greece, but that sort of artistic style. It's sort of 300-ish. You can see 300 in Killer 7 a little bit. And it's sort of like a Quentin Tarantino movie. It's kind of, it reminds me of kind of like Pulp Fiction and Kill Bill and that kind of film. More Kill Bill than Pulp Fiction, but it's got elements of both, storytelling-wise anyways, in it. So if that sounds at all appealing to you, go play Killer 7. And of course you can pick it up on the cheap now. It didn't sell very well, which is a shame because it was a truly visionary visionary game. And the guy who made it, Suda51, I can never figure out how to pronounce his name. I've been told it's Suda51 or Suda51. I'll go with both this time, just to cover all my bases. He's coming out with a new Wii game. It's called No More Heroes. Comes out in Japan this summer. And it's interesting. It's sort of a hack and slash with the Killer 7 art style. So we'll see what happens with that. But if it's good, I could definitely see myself buying a Wii to play it because he is a genius when it comes to game vision. That's my Suda51 plug for the week. A couple of things I forgot when we were talking about Capcom's Gamers Day. We've got this. I said something about a board game or an obscure board game, and it is really obscure. I had never heard of it. I like board games, but I had never heard of it. Capcom announced a couple of downloadable games coming to Xbox Live Arcade and the PlayStation Network. One of those is called Talisman. And I don't know if there's any Talisman fans out there, but it's a sort of medieval board game. Sort of like, I mean, it's not really like Dungeons and Dragons, but it has rules. There's like specific, you know, more strict rules, and it's an actual board game that you set up and play and then put away. It's not sort of an ever-continuing thing, but I know, based on what I've read around the internet, that there are a lot of sort of Talisman fans in hiding, and he hasn't really been, I think in the 80s it was discontinued, and then it may have been brought back in another incarnation, but in any case, it's coming to the Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network Store, which is pretty cool. This sort of rise in board games is taking the downloadable game world by storm. This summer, I mean, if you are a big fan of board games, you got to pick up an Xbox 360 because this summer we're going to get Settlers of Catan on the Xbox Live Arcade. You'll be able to play it online, and it's got cool graphics. Best part, no cleanup afterwards, huh? How's that? Settlers of Catan is coming, voice chat, of course, which I'm going to pick up because I've always heard Settlers of Catan is a great game. I've always heard, hey, you got to play this, and I've always wanted to. And, you know, sometimes my friends and I are bored or what have you, and we play Monopoly, we play Risk, we play cards, etc. But a lot of the times I really wish I had board games that were sort of fun, interesting, quick to play, but fun to play too. And it's tough to find that balance. And Settlers of Catan, I've always been told, is very strategic but fun, and I don't know, it's something appealing about trading resources on a board game. So that's coming to the Xbox Live Arcade. I'm going to pick that up. One, probably because it'll be cheaper than the actual board game version. But two, It's right there on my system. Very convenient. The other game, and I'm sorry if I don't pronounce this correctly. I'm going to try. We've got Talisman. It's called Carcassonne? Carcassonne? I really wish I knew. Let's try this. Let's try this again. It's a German board game. Let's put it that way. It's a German board game, and it's about basically, it's kind of like Settlers. It's about sort of building up like a world with tiles, and it takes place. Okay, here we go. It's Carcassonne, right? Is that how you say it? It's a French town, so I'll attempt to say it with the French accent. Carcassonne. That's how you'd probably say it, Carcassonne. But I don't know what the English transliteration is here. It's a tough word to pronounce. There's a lot of double letters in there. Any case, it's a sorry about that. It's a board game. You place tiles, kind of like Settlers, but each tile sort of connects to another, and you're just trying to take control of certain areas of the board by placing your pieces on tiles that you've just put down. So, for example, let's say you have a road. You have to connect it to another tile that's got a road that matches up. Cities have to match each other, you know, and you get points for controlling a number of, you know, city tiles versus a number of, you know, plains or roads or what have you. So, it looks pretty cool. Looks like a lot of fun. The Xbox 360 version is going to have sort of like an animated graphical interface, just kind of like Settlers of Catan. And, you know, this summer, it's all about the board games. Plus, you got other games coming out like, what's the game from Namco coming out? Coldcept Saga, which is kind of like a board game. That's coming out for the 360, and really cool. Really cool stuff. A lot of people might say, well, why don't you just buy the board game? Why don't you just play the board game with your real friends? Well, I'd love to play the board game with my real friends. If the game is fun, playing it via Xbox Live, then I might go get the board game and play it with my real friends. But as for me, I'm sort of a noob when it comes to these sort of cool board games from Germany. I'm not even going to try anymore. The game about the French town is what I'm going to call it. Carcassonne and Settlers of Catan. I've never played them, so I'm eager to try. And Talisman as well. I want to try Talisman, too. So it's a good time if you're a sort of virtual board game fan. I don't even know if that makes sense. Anyways, and I welcome the hate mail for... I've been told by a listener to play Stratego. We're not exactly on that same level, are we? Stratego and maybe Settlers is on completely different sort of board game paradigms. Stratego's fun. I have nothing against Stratego, but this is slowly becoming like the Milton Bradley Hour. What's next? We could talk about Candyland or something. No, Stratego's fun. In fact, Stratego, I'll try and make it relevant. They actually have a version of Stratego on Clubhouse Games for the Nintendo DS. No hard feelings to... there's a listener right now contacting me via the email address. Quick but fun and engaging board games. Yes, Stratego, I wouldn't say it's quick. It's fun and engaging. I wouldn't say it's necessarily quick, but by quick I meant like less than 2 hours. That's what I meant by quick. So I guess Stratego might fall into that. We're not talking about, you know, Risk or a game like Axis and Allies, which takes you a couple turnings of the sun to finish. But yeah, Stratego on Clubhouse Games for the DS is pretty fun. I play it sometimes. I like the game, you know. Okay. In any case, board games coming to the Xbox Live Arcade. That's all I got to say about that. We won't continue that any longer. So we're going to take a music break, one more. And when we come back, I'll finish off the hour with a couple of more thoughts. Once again, emails are always welcome. Press start, kcpr@gmail.com. Thank you. Shenmue soundtrack for you right there. I hope I'm pronouncing this one right. Today's just a day my tongue is being tortured. Shahua. I think that's right, with Chinese fiddle. That's the version. It's from the Shenmue soundtrack. For the last part of the show. Okay, so I looked up this Carcassonne thing. Every time I say that, I feel like I'm butchering it, but I guess it would seem weird to me to say only that word in French when I'm speaking. Apparently, the game is named after this town in France called Carcassonne, and that word sort of, it means the ending of a siege and the joyous ringing of bells. That's what Carcassonne sort of comes from, the etymology. Which, you know, who knew, right? You learn something new every day. And basically, the town in France is called that. It's got high walls, and it's been, I guess, sieged a lot in its history. So some guy named a game after it. There's your little history lesson from your press start history lesson. That's something I could do every week. That would be cool. The other things, Final Fantasy 13, as you may know, there's like a new collection coming out. It's called Fabula Nova Crystallis. It's a compilation of Final Fantasy 13 games. So far, we know that there are two of them for the PlayStation 3. That's Final Fantasy 13, Final Fantasy Versus 13, and there's a mobile game called Final Fantasy Agito 13. And then, that's not it. Apparently, there's going to be other games for other platforms in that compilation. Not which platforms have not been announced yet. It could be the PSP. I'm expecting a PSP FF13 game. I'm expecting a DS FF13 game. I'm expecting a Wii FF13 game. I'd be surprised if they put an FF13 game on the 360, but I wouldn't be that surprised. But I'd like to see it. But if anything, it'll probably be like a spin-off that's like an action game or something. I don't know. Nothing confirmed yet, all other than there are going to be more FF13 games coming to other systems. You know, Final Fantasy has become, it's like Mega Man now. I mean, it's getting to that point where Final Fantasy is becoming like Mega Man. It's like the Japanese version of Madden in the United States. It's like Madden comes out every year, got updated rosters, a couple of gameplay tweaks, new game. Final Fantasy and Mega Man are like the same thing, but for Japan. And it's kind of, you know, unfortunate because the Final Fantasy name used to mean something. I sound all crotchety when I say it like that, don't I? Like, back in my day, Final Fantasy used to mean something. Well, it did used to mean something. I mean, we, you know, the first three games came out over a span of, what, like 5 years or something like that? And now we've got six. Not only six Final Fantasy games coming out, like, within a 2 year or 3 year span, but six Final Fantasy games with the same numerical identification. What is that about? It's like, I was thinking about this morning, it's like, Enix, when they, like, bought Square, like, you know, in the early 2000s, it's like they had to, like, make up for all those years that Squaresoft had the Final Fantasy license by releasing a new Final Fantasy game for every year that Enix didn't own the license before they bought them. That's what's happening now. We need to settle down. We need to stop releasing so many Final Fantasy games. And I understand that they sell. I'm not saying that they're bad in any way. I'm not saying, you know, most of them have been good. They have high production values. You know, they're mostly fun to play. I thought FF12 was just an amazing game. Great voice acting, great characters, great dialogue. But it's come, I mean, now you've got like Crystal Chronicles spinoffs that aren't, I mean, they're Final Fantasy-ish in nature and all of that. But I just, you know, it's coming to the point where if they don't release a yearly update to the series, it will kind of frighten me. So, I don't know. Something that needs to be looked at maybe by Square Enix, and we can work from there. As long as, I mean, if they keep up the quality, they're fine. That's all. That's great. That's gravy. But, not so sure about this six. how much time will this involve to like play through all of these six? So That's that news for you. And the other couple of things real quick that I want to get to, Sega announced a new Sonic game called Sonic Rush Adventure. That's coming out for the DS. Oh, boy. That's coming out later this year, I think. And it's going to be 2D again, like the old one, but there are going to be some, they're adding some 3D segments in there. You can hear the bells of doom chiming from Sonic fans who just, Sonic purists mostly, who don't want to see Sonic in 3D anymore. But they are going to add a couple of 3D segments to the game, hence the adventure subtitle. So that's what you get for the DS. They're not going to be very ever. It's going to kind of be like how in the first Sonic Rush, the sort of tube running was slightly 3D. It wasn't really, but it looked 3D. It's kind of be like that, except Sonic's on like a watercraft or something, and it's like a racing mini game. Devolving into madness as the series goes along. So people, today has been a day, I think, where people have been just like, don't understand what's going on over in Japan. We've got Sonic Rush Adventure going 3D with a jet ski or a parasail or whatever he's going to have. And six Final Fantasy 13s and board games being downloadable. And what else? Oh, yeah, Mega Man being used and abused again. So it's been not a good week for Japanese gaming fans. But it has been a good week for American games in Japan, and that... our final story here is the latest Famitsu scores. Famitsu, of course, is the prolific Japanese magazine that carries a lot of clout in the industry over there. Their reviews this week, I'll just go through the top five, which are all games that have either come out here or are coming out here. And you're going to be surprised what's on the first two spots, what system they're for. The number five, Meteos, the Disney version of that. It's got a 31 of 40. A Panel de Pond, which is an online version of Tetris Attack. You know, if you own a Super NES, you have to own Tetris Attack, and that's a big fan favorite. That one's also coming to the U.S. a little bit later on online play, but it's called Panel de Pond in Japan. It's got a 31 out of 40. Final Fantasy XII Revenant Wings, that's the handheld sort of sequel to Final Fantasy XII that's sort of a 2D version of basically Final Fantasy XII, sort of same gameplay style. That is got a 32 of 40, which is a pretty respectable score. Got a 9, 8, and one reviewer gave it a 7 and another 8. And then the top two on a system you wouldn't expect that's just doing miserably in Japan. It's sold less than 500,000 units there. PS3 has sold twice as many units as the Xbox 360 in Japan, which is saying something because the PS3 has not sold very well anywhere. And those two games got great scores. Test Drive Unlimited for the Xbox 360 got a 34 out of 40, and Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Vegas got a 36 out of 40. You got four nines from Famitsu, and that's pretty big. I mean, it's sort of an American game. But I downloaded the demo of Rainbow Six Vegas earlier this week. I have to say, I am impressed. I'm impressed. I really am. It's sort of a mix between a first-person shooter and a Gears of War-style third-person shooter, because it's got, like, this whole cover system. But it's quite good from the demo, from what I've played, and I'm going to pick it up at some point. But from what I know, very deserving of 36 of 40 from Famitsu. And, you know, of course, the Japanese don't really like first-person shooters that much, but to have an American-developed first-person shooter score that high for a system that's not selling very well, that's a pretty big deal, if you ask me. Time just flies by. I don't know. It's crazy when you're here. It doesn't seem like an hour to me. It probably seems like that to a lot of you. But thank you for listening to the show. I will be back next week. Next week on the show, I'm attempting to book some local guests, some who are musically talented in a certain way, and hopefully we can get them on the show. And I hope you'll tune in for that. Also, I will be on the GamesAreFun.com podcast, which should drop next Monday on GamesAreFun.com. So if you're interested in that, me and the staff, or the staff and I, if you prefer to be correct with grammar, are going to be going over Capcom Gamers Day and a whole lot more that pertains to the gaming industry. So if you like what you hear, you might check that out as well. GamesAreFun.com. Once again, email to this show, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. If you got something to say, don't hesitate to say it, because I'd like to hear it. And also, you can download this show from the website, pressstart.thefighting.org. You can leave your comments there and subscribe to the podcast as well. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM. My name is Justin. Game over.